We'll be right back. talk about the new record. Have you decided on a title for the album?
It's called Dream Harder.
How would you describe that title? Where does that come from for you? About dreaming harder, pushing harder towards a dream?
Exactly. Yeah. I have my own dreams like everybody else, and I feel if I dream them harder, then they're going to come true all the sooner and all the stronger.
Preparing to Fly, which is a song on the album, talks about preparing to fly at your own steam. You've always like to do things your way, Mike, by your own rules, so that it was comfortable, so it felt right for you. And I think there's no regrets in doing something in that way. And is that really, lyrically, is that what you were trying to say at that point?
No, probably what the song is dealing with is my it's like my new life, it's my state of optimism, and I'm going forward, and I believe things are going to work out. And also, a thing about it is when Steve Wickham, the fiddler, left the Waterboys, at first, because Steve was such a huge part of the band and he was my best friend, still is, I was very upset when he left, and I was thinking, what are we going to do? And then I realised, well, hang on, we've still got that other guy, the guy that plays the electric guitar and sings. And all of a sudden I had to rely on myself. I didn't have Steve playing an amazing fiddle, and pretty soon I didn't have Colin on the whistle or Anto on the sax. I had to rely on myself, and whatever power was going to be in my music and my life was going to have to come out of me. And that was a great discovery for me. It's one of the best things that ever happened to me. And so in Preparing to Fly, that's what I mean, under my own steam.
Right. Explain Glastonbury's song to me, and then I want to ask you something about the lyrics as well.
Okay. It's not referring to the festival. Apart from the festival that goes on there, which I've played at many times, Glastonbury is a small town in southwest England, and it's also a sacred centre. It's in the spiritual tradition of Britain, Glastonbury has had a central role. There's a legend that Jesus was there, and there's a legend that Joseph of Arimathea, who collected Jesus' blood in the chalice when Jesus was on the cross, that he came to Glastonbury.
And you also, the chorus says, "I just found God where he always was." Is that you yourself finding God there in Glastonbury, going back to the place, or is it the idea of people going there as a pilgrimage because it's a sacred place?
It's finding God in the heart, or in my own heart. And Glastonbury has helped me to do that. It's always been a strong place for me, a place where I'd go if I need some inspiration.
Really? I mean, so you spend a lot of time there when the festival isn't happening, probably more,
I've been there a number of times, and we were talking there about my new life, as I call it. And I went to Glastonbury in the middle of that period for a week, and when I was drying out from alcohol, and it was a good place for me.
How was that for you when you came to drying out from alcohol? Was that something that you took on yourself? Did you reach out and get other help for it, or was it something that you cut and dry and said, I have to deal with this?
I did
personally?
It myself. Yeah, I was never a very great drunk. I was a bit of an amateur drinker. But I could see that if I didn't stop, I would become a professional drinker. So I cut it out. And I feel great for it. It's really great. For me, it's a lot cooler being straight.
Green square back in old Maybole, rode the wind up to storm away, paused at the peak, pacified my soul, caught the bus in the ferry fort, made it to the mansion on the buoyancy. I come around to the ancient ways, I took a tip from the Buddha boy. I just found God,
just found God,
yeah, I just found God,
I just found God,
yeah, I just found God. The hill of dreams, Bernadette, Mother Earth, and you and me, through Carver Road down the Wildwood side, blinding our eyes in the shallow seas, drank fire with the king of the blues, plugged into the medicine way, took a long last look at Crazy Horse, push now for a golden age. I just found God,
just
God, yeah, I just found God. Found God where he always was. Found myself on the roof of the world, just
just waiting for to get my wings. Strange angel in the changing light, said, brother, you forgot something. My heart beat from the inside out, so lucky just to be alive. Can you tell what I'm talking about? Any day now the sun's gonna rise. I just found God. There's a green hill far away, I'm going back there one fine day. There is a green hill far away, I'm going back there one fine day. There is a green hill far away, I'm going back there one fine day. There is a green hill far away, I'm going back there.
Going back to the first song, The New Life, in the lines, Presidents, Generals, How Do You Do? I Can Make It With or Without You.
Uh-huh.
Your past record company things you've had to deal with. Is that kind of a tip to them?
No, it's not record company presidents. It's Mr. Clinton's and Mr. Bush's and Mr. John Major's that I'm thinking of.
Right, I see. And all of them, right?
Yeah, I think if my life is going to work out, it's going to be because of me. It's not going to be because of a president. God bless them, you know. I'm not saying anything against them, but I can make it in my own life with or without them.
You're back with the theme of Pan.
Well, Panism was the ancient god of all the creatures on the earth.
Right.
He was one of the Greek gods. He's a very mischievous Greek god. And he's the character with the legs of a goat and the cloven hooves and little horns on his head.
Right.
And often portrayed with a goatee beard as well.
Corn Circles, which is the next song on the record.
Do you know what the Corn Circles are?
Can you explain it to us?
Well, they're these strange, very large symmetrical designs that appear in the cornfields in England during the summer months. They're circles or patterns of flattened corn. Nobody knows how they get there. There doesn't seem to be any damage to the corn. People wonder, is it UFOs? Is it kind of nature power? Is it witches? Nobody knows what it is. Is it hoaxers? And they're very beautiful designs. And I'm not offering any theories myself. I have no idea what makes them at all. But I'm very intrigued by them. And I find them a great mystery. There's even a magazine about them called The Seriologist, which I subscribe to.
Really?
Yeah.
And how many different views do they take in that magazine? I mean, how many ways can they look at it? What are they?
Well, the magazine is editorially doesn't take one view. They provide a forum for all the different schools of thought, and there are many of them, to put their case.
Suffer is a song I think a lot of people can relate to. And that's, again, it's a continuing theme in that song about putting something behind you that's mm-hmm. been really unpleasant. Is this a personal experience?
It's from a few different situations in my own life and in the lives of a few people close to me.
For you no more, I'm gonna write you out of my life and shut the door. You tried to drive a wedge between me and my friends. You pushed
remember when. Now I'm bringing this charade to an end. I'm gonna suffer for you no longer. I'm gonna suffer for you no more. I'm gonna write you out of my life and shut the door. I'm gonna suffer for you no longer. I'm gonna suffer for you no more. I'm gonna write you out of my life and shut the door. There was subtlety and skill in your manipulative ways. You chipped away my will so you could make me stay. Soothed me with your voice until I obeyed. But I'm making my own choice from today. Contained me like a glove or a creeping cloak of mist. You guaranteed the stars, but there always was a twist. Now I see you as you are, egotist. I'm gonna suffer for you no longer. I'm gonna suffer for you no more. I'm gonna write you out of my life and shut the door. I'm gonna suffer for you no longer. I'm gonna suffer for you no more. I'm gonna write you out of my life and shut the door. I've got a ticket in my hand and I must be moving on. But I want you to understand, from the moment I am gone, I release and let you go. You owe nothing now to me. I'm not angry anymore. I'm free. I'm gonna suffer for you no longer. I'm gonna suffer for you no more. I'm gonna write you out of my life and shut the door. I'm gonna suffer for you no longer. I'm gonna suffer for you no more. I'm gonna write you out of my life and shut the door. And shut the door. And shut the door. And shut the door. And shut the door.
Spiritual city. You talk about spiritual city, going to watch you grow and all the things are spiritual. You try to encompass your life and what's spiritual and make things, all things matter around you. Is that some reflection of that?
Well, I feel spirituality is something very normal. In my life, I don't want it to be something austere or rarefied or for special occasions. It's something that I want in my life here and now all the time. And I'm working on that, and the song Spiritual City is almost like a pep talk to myself.
Let's go back to Love and Death on the record. Uh-huh. And there are two things that I think people can be the most obsessed with in their lives. When you were writing the lyrics to that track...
I didn't write the lyrics. It's written by W.B. Yeats.
It's a poem. Yeah, I didn't even think of it from that side.
It's a lesser-known Yeats poem that I discovered in the back of a book.
Really? And you just adapted it to that?
I did. I had the book sitting at the piano. It's a very cool thing. It's in a book called The Complete Poems. It's a special edition, and it includes a whole lot of poems that at the time were only published in journals and magazines. They were never in Yeats's collections. They're a bit like his B-sides.
Right, I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't in his albums.
Yeah.
And when I got this book, someone very kindly gave it to me as a wedding present, and I found all these additional poems, and I thought maybe there's a few I could put to music. And I had the book sitting at the piano open at Love and Death, right. And I came in one night, and the music just hit me and came to me in a oneer, just in one go.
Wow, that's
very cool.
That is cool. The Return of Jimi Hendrix is a brilliant track. There's a lot of different ways that people will interpret it. Was it a dream?
It was exactly that.
Tell me a bit about it. I want to hear about the dream. I mean, obviously, it's in the lyrics, but tell me a bit about the dream and what made you get up and say, You know, I've got to put this down.
I'd been at a friend's house the night before, and we'd watched a series of Jimmy videos, and they really turned me on. And that night, I had a dream where all the events that are in the song took place. Jimmy came back for one day. He was born out of an egg, and he came over to my house, checked out my guitar, and we spent the afternoon together, and then he went wild rocking at night, and that was my dream.
I thought it was pretty tremendous. You mentioned all these New York clubs now, and I guess maybe being here and frequenting them, they're in your subconscious.
I think that's it, exactly. You know? And when I woke up, I'm good at remembering my dreams because I often write them down, and the more you write down your dreams in the morning, the better you get at retaining them for a while once you wake up. And I wrote this one down, and then I took it in hand later and made a few bits rhyme and smoothed out the lines and crafted it a bit.
Good news at the end of the record. You talk about the war theme in the beginning of the album. Talk about the war being over in the Gulf, but not in your head, because of the peace that's within you. And the good news at the end is about putting down your guns, the war's over. Right. Tell me a bit about that.
Well, have you ever seen these car stickers that say, visualize world peace?
Right, yes, ma'am.
I think this is a revolutionary thought, visualize world peace. And I try and do it all the time. And it ties in with Dream Harder. You see, if you visualize something and you hold it in your mind and you put a lot of love and energy into it, it'll come true. And if enough people visualize world peace, it may seem crazy, but one day, if there's ever going to be world peace, it's going to be in large amount because people have dreamed of it and visualized it and worked for it. And in the song Good News, I'm kind of imagining the day when world peace breaks out and the song comes over the radio.
3, 4...
Drop your guns and hear the news. The war is won and we've called a truce. The key is the found and the circle complete. And the higher ground is beneath our feet. Turn of a page or a change of gear. A brand new age is already here. And even while men pursue their doom, a magical child is kicking in the womb. Functioning part.